Let's go to gospelprofessor.podbean.com. You can find it, or you can go to Apple iTunes and put in 10-minute prayer, 10-minute Bible study. It'll pop right up. We have 700 or 800 different episodes out there now, so there's plenty of content. So if you say you need a word of the day, you got a word every single day if you want one. Amen? So it's plenty of content, and it's all free. Amen? All free. So we do not charge for that content at all. So please go out there and help yourself. If you would be so kind with me, would you turn to the book of Romans? Today, I don't have a lot of scriptures for you today. We'll go Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is a very familiar passage to many of you. Romans 12, 1 and 2. As I go deeper in my studies, I find the Romans to be a very interesting book and situation. We know that Romans is one of the books that Paul wrote. Let me get this for the there on the other side. It's one of the books that Paul wrote, and remember, Paul goes, he changes his name from Paul, he starts going by his new name. Romans changes his name from Saul, he starts going by his new name, which is Paul. And what he does is he writes this book. So here's the thing of what's going on at this time. At this time, you have the church. You have a church. Remember, Paul was what? It is my ring, I guess. Paul, too much power coming out of it, I guess. Paul was, Paul was one of the writers of the Bible, and he was one of the apostles. And Paul here would go from church to church to help these churches, number one, get established. And then, not only were they getting established, then he would go back and make sure that they were healthy. He made sure that they had good doctrine and that they were following good rules. Because sometimes, as we used to say, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And sometimes when the leader's not around, sometimes when the apostle's not around, things would go haywire, or things would kind of get out of line. Now, the interesting thing you're going to find out about the Roman, the church here in Rome, is that they had two different sets of types of people. Remember, prior to this, Jews only were celebrating Jesus. It was them that knew Jesus, because they kept the Torah and all these kind of things, right? But now you find that, that Paul and them were, I think it was Paul and Peter was with Cornelius. Remember, we've been talking about this in Bible study. And Cornelius is a Gentile, and this is when God has to tell Peter, look, you being racist, or you being, what's the other term? You segregating the gospel, and I die for all people. I die for everybody. So he basically tells Peter at that time that, look, go pray for Cornelius. Cornelius is going to receive my spirit, and now he's going to be saved, and he's going to be helping you to reach other Gentiles. So now, fast forward, now they're all over the earth, they're spreading the gospel, and now they're in Rome. And in Rome, you have two types of people. You have the Gentiles, okay? And then you have what? The Jews. And together, they form a church. Think about it for a moment. You have the Jews and the Gentiles, and together, they have a church. Now, let me modernize this for you to 2021. You have black people and you have white people, and they're together in a church. I've seen that experiment a couple of times. So think about this is what Rome is. You got the Gentiles and you got the Jews. The Jews have a way of doing things. They have their own customs. They follow the Torah. They don't eat pork. They don't do this. They don't do that. They eat everything kosher. They're very strict on this. Then you have these people called the Gentiles, who were the dog people, right? These people were what? Basically, if you weren't a Jew, you was a Gentile. So these people did everything. They ate the poor. They did all these different things. And now you're bringing two different cultures together in one church. That was the church at Rome. So this is, I'm giving you some background why the letter reads the way it reads. And you'll find this is probably one of Paul's longest letters. So now when you read Romans, I bet you think about it a little differently now. Because what you're going to be reading is him giving instructions to basically a multicultural church. Not that they were multicultural in skin, but multicultural in how they did things. So you think about that now as an integrated church. You have what we would call, for lack of a better word, some people say that's gospel music. Then you have some people, they call it, what they call it, Christian worship music. Which, at the core, both are supposed to be the same thing, but we know that they have a genre, or they have a kind of way that it carries on that's a little different. We as black people, our music has a tendency to be a little bit more soulful. Their music has a tendency to be more what we call worshiping. And so if you imagine trying to blend these two together, so that what? Everybody in this church can prosper. This is what Paul is dealing with here in Rome. So you have a people who are in here, they both believe, but yet they're still also divided. So this is why Romans is such a good book to go and read and understand about church culture and understand about people. Because here, like I said, we have two different people here trying to come together as one. All right, so we're going to read Romans 12 and 1. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If I would use for a subject this morning as we go to close out this series, is retool your mind by renewing. Give me 1 second to get this over here for you. Retool your mind by renewing. As a classroom teacher, and in the classroom teacher, you get to the point where you have to get a license, and to get a license, there are a series of things and classes that you have to take. There's usually a series of tests that you have to take, and once you pass those series of tests and you go through those series of license of tests and all the things that they ask you to do. The state here, in this particular state, North Carolina, grants you a license. Now with that license has an expiration date. It's not a forever thing. I think it's interesting, this is one of the ways with a license is how you keep people current. What the reason they put an expiration date on the license is not that you just get it and it's a forever thing. I think about our spirit, I think about the Holy Ghost. I think about the Holy Ghost as it has an expiration date. Meaning that what, I have to continually renew it. Oh, come on, somebody. I have to continually work at it so that what, I can stay current and I can stay up to date. You know, if you run into a teacher who is not current and up to date, you have somebody who's killing the classroom. Because we know things are moving and things are transforming and we're learning more on each and every day. So as fate would have it, every five or six years, I have to renew my license. And in order for me to renew my license, there are a series of classes. They tell me, take a class in technology, and take a class in literacy, and take a class in special education, and take a course in this. Now, many people would think, okay, once you're out of school, you should be out of school, and you should never have to go back. Well, I'm here to tell you that is definitely not the case. It's not like once you live, you don't grow. It's not like once you get here, things just stop. So therefore, you have to what? Continually go back. In our area, we call it continuing education credits. We call them CEUs. So I have so many CEUs that the state has allowed it that I must take. And then once I do, I take those CEUs, I go in and I take those courses, I bring back proof that I've taken those courses, I submit my information to the state office agrees with me, and therefore they renew my license. By renewing my license, what the state has said that he is current enough to be in the classroom. He's current enough that he can go in there and be effective. He's current enough that he understands some things that needs to go forward, and we believe that he can get the job done. Now, fast forward to our lives. How many of us actually spend time renewing our lives? Some of us, when we got saved, we say, once saved, always saved, which I don't believe, and I don't find any Bible for, but some believe once saved, always saved. So once I get saved, once I repent that one time, once I get together that one time, I don't need to do anything else. See, they often tell me that things that are not changing are dead. Things that don't change are dead. We are always in a constant state of metamorphosis, meaning that we're always changing. We're always constantly in a state that we should be getting better. We should be moving. How do we retool? We got renewing your mind. I don't know about you, but this pandemic has done a number on me mentally. There's some things that, you know, I like to think that I was a pretty impressed, optimistic person on all things. I always saw the glass as half full, and I always saw the best in people. I always gave people the benefit of the doubt. I was one of those ones. I trusted you from day one until you did something different. And then all of these things, you know, things come and just chip away at you. And if you're not careful, what you can find yourself doing is what? transforming. The Bible says what? He said, be ye transformed, what? Not up to this world. What happens when you transform to this world is when you decide that you want to stop growing. When you decide that you're going to start catching the world versus you start attacking the world. When you decide that, well, I'm just going to sit right here and what happens to me happens to me. What happens is you're transforming to what? The world. Because that's what the world does. But God tells us that we are always on the offensive. We are always in this place to go forward. We are always to say, look, I don't see it, but I believe that it can happen. I don't know about it, but I believe that you can do it. We are always on the built to what? To go forward and not be stagnant. I find ourselves now as a time of believers that a lot of believers now are just finding themselves, well, if I can just get by. No, we're not supposed to just get by. We're supposed to be what? Over and beyond. Mm-hmm. We're more than conquerors. We're just getting by, that's not me. But we can find ourselves because of what? All the things around us, that spirit of oppression. You know, there's a difference between oppression, depression, and possession. Oppression from the outside. It's outside things that bother you. Depression meaning what? That it's inside of you, but not to what? Destroy you. And possession means that what is now taking over your body. Mm-hmm. Because what the Bible said, look, he cannot be in there. He said, light and darkness cannot mix. So if you possess it, you must not even be a believer. I tell people that all the time. Because the Bible says that what? When the Holy Ghost comes in, there's no vacancy. He fills you up. We were singing this morning, fill my cup, Lord. Fill don't mean that he put it halfway. Fill means what? Over. Fill means nothing else can go into it. If I ask you to fill me up, that means I want you to put it where you can't put nothing else. Just give me some. Because if you really want to be filled up, that's why we say, have you been what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't say, can I get some of the Holy Ghost? There's some of us who come in and we get a touch here and there and we feel good about it, but that little bit is gone. But when you feel with the Holy Ghost, and see, the Holy Ghost, what? It's not stagnant, it's a flow. It flows. We used to sing this song that it flows from what? From glory to glory and from mountain. It flows. It's a current. It's not stagnant. So if your Holy Ghost is stagnant, that means you're not reaching out to somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. See, the thing is, this is why it's important that we reach together and we call each other and we connect with each other. People are going through things, and what happens is now I open up that line of communication so that a flow can occur. Because what you don't understand is that as I'm talking to Sister Hicks, that is flowing out of me. Why? Because she's drawing on me. Y'all ever heard a preacher say, y'all keep doing that, y'all will keep pulling on me? What he's talking about is you pulling that which God has put in him. But what happens is then he leaves empty, but there's somebody else he has to connect with and pull in them. Oh, come on, somebody. This is how this thing works. So I have him, my wife will tell you, some days I leave here, it ain't that many of us, but I go home and I crash. And I'm like, why am I so tired? Because of what I'm leaving here so that what you can be filled. And then what you do is take what you have and you give it to somebody else that I can. People often talk about this circle of life and this circle. Why? Because the circle cannot be broken, because if the circle is broken, you cannot stop the flow. Because if you stop the flow, then there's no more newness in this. This is what he says. He said, how can you put what? New wine in old wineskins? That's why you got to renew. Why? Because the wineskins are what? Hard. They crack. You ever seen something that's made out of skin or something that's made out of something that was rubber, like rubber? And you ever seen something that's rubber, if you leave it out in the sun, it dry, what we call dry out? It might hold something, but it ain't going to be good for any movement. And see, this is why we have to be what? Flexible. Why? So that he can move through us. And we cannot be so rigid in what we do that when I come to church and we do it this way. See, this is the problem that Paul was having in this church, because these people were used to doing things that way. They were used to, this is their culture, then they did this. And they were used to this because they did their culture, they did that. And now they're blaming each other. Well, you're going to hell. No, you're going to hell. And now you got a mess in the same church. When they technically what both believe the same thing, but there were some cultural differences there that separated them from being who God had called them to be. It's tough to get on one accord. But I also noticed throughout the Bible, every time that they get on one accord, that what God allows his spirit to come in. So one of the things we have to be clear on what we're doing today and what you are doing on the next week, if you're taking notes, number one, he said service. He told them that what? He said, do this, this is holy and acceptable and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Meaning that's the very least you can do. Who are you serving? Why? Because when you serve, it allows the door to be open for the flow to happen. See, I can't ask God to fill me up if I'm already filled because I ain't spending anything. See, some of us come and say, Lord, fill me up, and you still carrying around F from last week. You ain't burned any fuel. You ain't burned any gas. So how am I going to give you new gas if you haven't spent any? See, there's this other rule that we talk about, this thing called the rule of scarcity. And the rule of scarcity is if you've been brought up in poverty, when you actually get something, you hold on to it so tight that it actually ends up becoming a prison to you. See, the rule of scarcity says that because I'm not used to having anything, when I get something, I get it and I don't give it to nobody else. And Jesus even shows this, and Jesus even, I mean, does this with the parable of when he gave them with the guy's talents, right? One thought what? He gave one talent, one, two talents. And made them more by what? Spending them, providing service, putting them out there in different places, investments or whatever, except one person. What does he do? He came back proudly and said, oh yeah, I got mine. Thought he was doing something. What did he do? Go dig his up. I put it in a hole so nobody else can get it. What good is God to give you talents and things that you can do that nobody else can do, and you go bury it in a hole? What does God do? He's mad with him. What did he do? He took what he had and gave it to another. So don't be afraid to use what God has given you. I promise you, it's uniquely you. It took me years to figure that out. It took me years to do that. And now that I understand and I got it, there ain't no going back. Because I know there's some things that Peter Healy do can't nobody else in the world do. And they can try it, but they'll never be me. Because it's just me. They ain't gonna sound like me. They ain't gonna have the energy like me. They ain't gonna have the passion like me. They ain't gonna be excited about it. And then I got the Holy Ghost on top of that. Oh, good luck. Who finished the second? You know, that's how I see. Because I know. And you gotta have that same confidence about the thing that God has put in you. I don't care if you think you don't sound good, but God knows that sound. That sound that you got might be the one that's gonna crack that hard heart of somebody in this room. You know, well, I don't write that well. No, God is giving you because it might be something with you that is just that one piece with you. I remember the king, when I was a kid, remember this story called King Arthur, right? And you remember King Arthur, there was a sword that was stuck in a rock. And the only person who could move it was what? Oh, come on, y'all with me. The only one who could move it was the one who was anointed. The one who was anointed to be able to do so. And I'm here to tell you today that God has some things set up just for you through your service that only you will be able to move that stone. Only you will be able to move that sword. As we remember in the cartoon, it was saying everybody will come by, the strongest people will come by, the most talented one, and nobody can move that thing. And there was a little boy who came by. Such and such. And he was like, where you get that from? He said, out of that rock. And they all look at him. Oh, surely he broke it. Put it back in there. Everybody else coming to town. This is just like your talent. Now see, let me bless you for a minute. See, when people started seeing you winning, what happened they do? They copycat. They say that's a form of flattery, right? People start doing the same thing you do and you get a little discouraged. I'm telling you from my experience. I was the only one doing this. Now everybody else wanna do it. Which means now they're gonna flood my market, and if they flood my market, then I ain't gonna do as well. Not true. The devil is a liar. Because if God called you to do it, they ain't gonna be able to do it like you. So when he puts it back, this is essentially like what? Him putting that back out there. And everybody does what? They come and they try to get it again. And then to then what? They see the little boy go up there and he pulls it out. And at that point in time, they all have to what? The Bible said, well, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. There is coming a day that they're going to have to confess your greatness. And your greatness is going to show through your service. This is why he told you, this is the least you can do. Because he said that he that is greater in the kingdom does what? They serve. So how do I renew my mind? Renewing my mind around service. I know some of you have been abused. Some of you have been to churches where they took your talent for granted and they just did whatever, they treated whatever, and they wouldn't even throw, as my granddad used to say, I ain't had a rock to throw it over a rattlesnake. But I'm here to tell you today that God has you at a point in time now. He's renewing your mind. Forget that. Pass those things. They did it. You ever seen people who come out of relationships and they get into a great relationship and this is a great person, but they self-sabotage it? Why? Because they still living in the last relationship. Great person, great woman, great man, whatever the case may be, treat them well, and they just can't get Johnny out of their head. They can't get just what Susie get out of their head. And therefore, they forfeit the new thing that God has put before them. Renewing of the mind. So number one, service. How do I renew my mind? My service. Lord, what do I do for you? Lord, I used to enjoy singing for you. Why no more? Lord, I used to enjoy praying. Why no more? These are the things that got you where you were. These are the things that brought you to where you are. That's how we even know you now, because of that gift that God has given you, that service that you provided, and now you let people and their mess and their situations and their evilness to keep you from doing what God has already called you to do. If you're a counselor, you'd be the best counselor there be, because people's lives are changed because of you. And you ain't going to ever know how many until you get up there and God give you your crown. You go, oh my God, Jesus, you bling this one out. And then you start to realize, oh, that was Johnny. Oh, Roscoe, I only gave him a dollar. It mattered. I only told her 5 minutes. It mattered. And I don't know about you, but I want to look at my crown and I want to see all those jewels on my crown. Because you know we're going to serve with him. He said we get a crown. And the best crown is what? The soul winning crown. And I want to see all those jewels. But man, that's a pound. That's a big jewel right there. Woo, look at that one. And then all these things, but you don't know. I'm finding out more and more every single day. Something I did in college 25 years ago that's still affecting people. I remember one time, and now God bless his soul, he's gone on to be with the Lord, I guess. You know, God called me and said, man, I just remember that time you prayed for us in the dorm. And I didn't even barely remember it. It was something that happened in the dorm, and I was a freshman, and we just went down and we did a prayer. I mean, it was in a circle, and I prayed. And he's like, man, I just remember. That was 25 years ago. I forgot about it. So you don't know. People remember how you make them feel. You can do all this stuff, but they remember how you make them feel. So what? Service. Service don't mean that, okay, you got to be up here in the pulpit, because this is marketplace ministry. Because right now, many pulpits are still not open. Some of you have connections to people that you can just keep them from doing something crazy to themselves just by picking up the phone. Hey, how are you doing? That's, for some people, that's all they need. Some people just need to know that you still care. All right, so also renewing of the mind. What does he tell us? Be transformed, right, with the renewing of our mind. Know this, it's not free. See, when I went downtown to go get my license renewed, they charged me a $60 fee. They call it their processing fee. Things that they have to do and they file in their paper, they print, or whatever. So many times we want this thing for free. I only see one thing in the Bible he told us was free. That was him giving us the Holy Ghost. That's why it's called a gift. Gift means free. If you tell me I didn't give me a dollar, you're going to give me a free gift, then no, it's not a gift. You sold me something. See, the Bible says, oh, we will give what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. When you get the gift of the Holy Ghost, what that does is it gives you the power to go in there and earn everything else that you need. Did y'all catch that? The gift of the Holy Ghost gives you power. That's your seed. And what you do with your seed from that point on is up to you. We're talking about the renewing of your mind. So what I want you to renew today is realize that, look, I have all the power I'm ever going to get. Anything that I'm going to do, I already got. I'm not getting any more. What are you doing with what you have? Are you serving with it? It's not going to be free. It's going to cost you something. He gave you the first part. He gave you the Holy Ghost. Now, after that, he said, seek my way, seek my face. And then what? He said, seek my righteousness. And all these things will what? Be added unto you. Right? So, again, what are you going to do? So you're going to give service. But even with the service, it's not going to be free. It's not going to be free. All right, so then he goes on. He tells us this. He said the renewing of your mind. Renewing, renewing. Renewing means what? That it's a constant thing. You all, this is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's a thing that we actually continually go. See, one of the things sometimes we as believers, we get to a certain point that we what we call rest on our laurels. In that, I'm saved, I'm this, I'm that, and that's it. When that's nothing further from the truth. I ain't seen nowhere in this Bible. If you find it, please tell me, and I'll stand corrected. Where he said, get saved and sit down. He said, save yourself. But he also told us to do what? Save others. The greatest commandment he gave us to do what? At the end of Matthew. Go out into the world and what? Be God and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I mean, not the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? which we know to be Jesus, because that commission that he gave them, the Acts of the Apostles, and the apostles end up what? Bringing it to fruition, which is what we saw on the day of Pentecost. Amen? So that's how they start. So he gave them the commission. He told them what their job was to do. That was one of the last things he told them to do. See, so how do we get renewed? See, you get renewed by what? Doing the work. And when you're out there doing the work, what you'll find is that, oh, I need this. Oh, if I'm going to do this work, I need that. No, I constantly find myself, and like I said, I can talk about me because nobody be mad with me but me. You know, and I asked myself that, like, earlier this year, I went back to school. I'm like, well, I got a PhD, why I need this? Well, I found something else that I needed to know that was going to make me better. It was going to make me more competitive. It might even open up another business or situation. So what I'm doing is what? Preparing. I'm preparing for another situation. Maybe it never comes, but it won't come. I mean, if it does come, I will be ready. So this is the constantly renewing of the mind. This is how you get ahead. So constantly look at yourself. Don't look at this time as, well, I'm just sitting here, woe is me. Change your mind about it. Because only you can get yourself up out of there. Only you can take the steps. And what God said, every step you take, I'll be there with you. He said, if you make your bed in hell, I'll be there with you. And it's always what? A choice that you have to make. The choice is always yours. And so I admonish you today, you know, number one, the choice is in service. Let's do something. There's many things to be done. If you see something done that need to be done here or something you can help us, let's find a way to be able to put you out there and help you get it done. You know, Sister Pam came and said, Pastor, I believe God, you know, has called me to teach this and that. And what did we do? We went, we invested, we bought computers, got cameras, everything. Got a whole setup in our house, and now she's blessing women on their Monday nights. Amen? There's some women's lives are being changed. People who don't even come to this church religiously attend their session. And I'm believing God at some point in time that they're going to be walking in here. Amen? And that's just how it goes. Because what those seeds are being planted. And when that thing comes up, we just got to be patient. And when it comes up, they'll be right here where they should have been all along. That God has a purpose. He has a plan. And there are others with ideas and things. And we're in a place now that God wants to take us to the next level. This is why last month we got the rest. This month we get the retool. Now it's time for us to go forth with that we got. You got your energy back. You got your tools. Now it's time to go do the work. Because round two of this COVID is coming. Mm-hmm. It's already here. They already said. And all these things. And you think people ain't about to lose their mind again? Because now, the truth of the matter is, people ain't going to probably shut down this time. I already heard from us. They say, oh, we got a vaccine. So if you didn't get it, then tough. We're going to still be open. And they're going to be, oh, this thing. I already prophesied that this thing was probably going to be with us to 2024 anyway. So that's what I saw going down. So, oh, okay, maybe he was wrong. But lucky, he might be on the money. I don't know. No, so let's be careful and realize that we're retooling. How do you retool? You're going to retool by renewing your mind. Go back and look at the things they used to do. Think about the things, you know, God used you. You believe God used you at your most powerful time. What were you doing in those times when God used you? Self-reflect. See, I do a lot of self-reflecting and say, Lord, how can I get better? Part of the renewing of your mind is, Lord, where was I most powerful in? When you used me, Lord, what was I doing? And how do I get back to that on a new level? So what I find myself doing? Yes, I keep a teacher's license, but I'm not teaching at high school no more. I'm teaching on what? The next level. So I'm here to tell you today, when you renew your mind, when you go back and you renew, God is not leaving you at the same level, but you got to have what? That foundation piece to be able to get the next piece. And some of us want to graduate where we threw away the high school diploma. It doesn't work like that. It's going to cost you something. It's not going to be free. But I'm here to tell you that it's going to be worth it. And because of that flow, when you be able to flow to somebody else, when you be able to give to somebody else, I promise you it's going to come back to you. The Bible says like this in Luke 36. I know we use this for offering, but he says, yeah, I'm going to say good measure. Good measure what? That could be anything. It's just not that. We often talk about the money, but that's good measure of your faith. He said, praise now, shake it together, run it over, abundance. But when he do it, he does it what? All the way, he fills it up. Show me one thing that God did, he didn't fill it. Anytime you see anything in the Bible, it was what? Full. And the lady got the oil. And the Bible says she went back to get her oil every day. What was it? Full. Running over. She had to go get more pots. Right? And as many pots she bring, he kept filling. So God wants what? Full. So if you're not working on full, then you need to check. Full. And then what? Running over there, what? Men. Notice that? Man. That's going to be somebody that God brings to you, will give unto your bosom. That means he can put money in your hand, but sometimes just a kind word. Say, man, you really blessed me. Huh? You? Man, I've been watching you on the internet, man, and man, you keep it up, man. And I'm thinking, you ever had that person walk up to you like that? You just, oh my God, these folks are. And what that does, it makes me more conscious, but it pushes me also to say, okay, when I want to say something I shouldn't say, somebody's watching. When I want to do something I shouldn't do, because we all get tempted, right? That's part of life. You're not looking at a robot up here. I'm very much human. Some things I want to do, some things I want to say, some places I want to go that I probably shouldn't be. But then I think about it. What is that going to do to my witness? That's that thing I'm telling you is not free. Because the Bible says what? Not everything is sin. Some things are just wait. There's some things you can do that's not sin. Now, some of the stuff we'll say is a sin because we come from traditional church and we say, this is a sin, this is a sin, this is a sin. And they did it, why? Because they can lead to sin. But not everything is sin. Some things are sin, some things are weight. But if I do it and it causes my son to fall because it's going to be past that for him, then I shouldn't do it. So that's a sacrifice for me. That cost me something. If I can go to the bar and sit up there and watch the game and drink Sprite and have a good time, and brother Joe over there see me there, and then brother Joe is like, oh yeah, let me come to the bar with you, and I know brother Joe got a problem with alcohol, it won't ascend to me, but I just caused him to fall because he thinks it's okay for him to go. Why? Because he sees me there. Do y'all catch what I'm saying? Even though I'm drinking Sprite and just enjoying watching the game or whatever the case may be, but for him it's a vice. So I have to be careful what I do. So like I said, the Bible says some things that I sin, some things away. So you have to be careful what you do. And that's a sacrifice because I might really like going to the bar watching the game with my friends. But I won't do it because what? Joe's soul means more to me. Now that's, I don't know if y'all, that's a price. Maybe it's just y'all. Maybe you don't do this or go here or go there or you kind of hide it. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to shut up, you know, but sometimes, you know, God has blessed us, you know, successfully, and we gotten some things that God has opened up some doors for us, and you know, you're excited about some things. And I had to learn, and my wife had to teach me this, is that some things you can't show some people. And I'm not showing people out of arrogance. I'm showing people out of, look, God blessed me with this. He can bless you too. And this is what he did for me. And yeah, I'm just a school teacher. But he did this, and he opened this, he touched that person's heart, this person gave it to me, he did this for me. I want to be a witness to somebody else. But then I learned, even in being a witness, the Bible said, like, were, those things that you did, what it said, though I do good, he was always about. They can take that one thing, oh, look at him trying to brag. Look at him. We don't need to support that church. We don't need to do this. We don't need to do that. They got plenty over there. Well, that is not the case at all. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes God will tell you, you know, you can show him, but you can't show him. Because you don't want your good to be what evil spoken of. Amen. So God bless you all. I love you all as we end this retooling series. Amen. I hope that this has been a blessing to you in this morning. I'm asking you to stand on your feet that we're going to pray and we're going to get on out of here. We're still in good time. Amen. Within our normal time period that we normally get out of here. I hope that you there on the internet have thoroughly enjoyed what God has given us here on today. Please go back and see the retooling series.